Woodbury Reports with your host, Lon Woodbury, talking with leading professionals about how parents and others can help their struggling teens, preteens, and young adults. Now here's your host, Lon Woodbury.
Welcome back to the Woodbury Report. This is Lon Woodbury, an independent educational consultant located in North Idaho. Today I have Megan Stokes on the line. Megan, good morning. Good to have you here.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, Megan is the executive director of NETSEP. That's the National Association of Therapeutic Schools and Programs. And we're going to talk about NETSEP. The topic is NETSEP, A Rising Tide Lifts All Boats. Now, NETSEP is a trade organization for the benefit of the members and cooperation, but there's a number of things, interesting things they do. So could you, Megan, start off by telling us NETSEP and then maybe get around sooner or later to how a rising tide lifts all boats. What do you mean by that? But what's NETSEP?
Sure. So NETSEP is the National Association of Therapeutic Schools and Programs, and that's a mouthful, so we go by NETSEP. And we are the nonprofit trade association for residential treatment centers, wilderness therapy programs, young adult transitional programs, therapeutic boarding schools. Our members also include referring professionals, so that's your educational consultants, psychiatrists. And then we have a couple of affiliates. Those are usually those who would offer services to our schools or our programs, so different business vendors along those lines. NETSEP is probably most known for their conference and the membership directory. Mm-hmm. So we have a membership directory that's sent out every year listing all of our members as well as a little bit about them, just profiled, type of student they take. So many of our programs are student-specific, so they're very focused on a certain type. And then we have our annual conference as well as our regional conferences, and that's where you can get your continuing education credits, hear presentations, talk to those who are in the field just like you, have some great time networking with everybody. And we just started our leadership summit, which, Lon, I'm sorry, you weren't invited to. That is the
I'll survive. I'll stay in North Idaho and do my fishing.
Yeah, so this is our summit for our member programs. We're looking at director-level folks, non-marketing, no educational consultants involved. And we have them come. We do panel discussions and then lots of roundtables and discussions about what's going on in the field, what do we need to be aware of, what can we do to help ourselves go farther. So we're talking about owner-operator issues, research, ethical practices. And that's something we just started last year. It was a huge success. And we're going to do this again in November, November 6th to 7th. In Salt Lake City, and we're going to be continuing this on. It's fantastic.
Okay, let me interject a question here. Some people have it, and I know the answer, but don't want to hear it from you, is some people say, well, aren't you an accrediting organization? And I know you're not, and could you talk a little bit reasons why you've decided that you don't want to be an accrediting organization?
Absolutely. So we are definitely not an accrediting or licensing organization. It was something that was kicked around way back in the early days of NATSAP. And we decided, you know what, let's let those who are leaders in the field, the Joint Commission, CARF, COA, those groups be the accreditors. Let the states be the licensors. They have the ability to go and visit every program unannounced, run through their inspections, talk to the students, talk to the staff. We don't. So we want to make that very clear. We're not an accrediting body. We will never be. But our members do have to have standards, and they're really great. So for our adolescent programs, you have to be licensed by the state or accredited by a major licensing body, one of the ones I mentioned earlier. All of our adolescent programs right now are licensed by the state that they reside in. And we also need to see their clinician's license. So they need to have a lead clinician who is licensed by the state. And we go through a very thorough membership process. So even though we're not doing accrediting, we're not doing licensing, we know what's going on. And some of those, I think the three-level for membership. So you first go through the home office, and then the membership committee, and then the board of directors before you can be approved to become a member. So it's not as simple as just writing a check. Mm-hmm. We ask in-depth questions about the types of therapy you offer, academic accreditation, and we also need to see a map of your facilities. We want to know about your mission, your vision, the values you share. That's really important to us. And we also want to know about any issues you might have run into. And we want to know who owns you.
Good question.
Even though we're not doing all that. Yeah. So even though we're not going and visiting the programs and running through all the inspections, we still want to make sure we know who our members are and they are meeting our standards.
So I presume that implies that you do turn down some applicants from time to time.
We do. Yes, we do.
That's very important.
Yeah, it's very important. We've had quite a few who were either not comfortable with what we were asking or not comfortable with our ethical principles or just didn't fit NATSAP and what we wanted to be. So we asked them to thanks but no thanks mm-hmm. and moved on. It's important for us to be able to do that. And essentially within our membership committee and our board of directors, it's a pretty lengthy discussion about who we want as our members.
Okay, well, it was founded I was at the meeting in Albuquerque in 1999. And what was the need that was seen for the necessity for NATSAP, which is you've continued to work on? But why don't you just start at the beginning briefly and then move into what you're trying to do for your member programs?
Sure. So the need was originally brought up that we needed to have some sort of body that would be looking at our programs together. There would be collegiality, not a cutthroat, competitive thing. We would talk about our issues together. We could help mentor new programs. We could help get people involved in research, programs that were not involved. There was a lot to it where it was a lot of, we want to have a group of people who are showing that, you know, they want to elevate the field.
That's, you know, I remember the time, and when you mentioned competition, you can't overemphasize that. It was a point to where a lot of programs that had a lot could have complemented each other, but they didn't trust each other because they were competitors, and that was pretty damaging, actually.
I absolutely agree. And you know, that we talk a lot about marketing and the marketing footprint at NATSAP conferences, and we talk a lot about poaching.
Oh, yes.
That sort of thing. So that's a big topic. Our best practices committee has discussed this at length. We're hoping to have some information, kind of a take home for our program soon. They're working on that. We want to talk about ethical practices. We want to talk about creating a mentoring program. We have one that's been established in our membership committee where they're working. They've assigned regions to each committee member, and they go to the different regionals. And they talk to the members, see, hey, if there's something that you need help with, I'm glad to help. If you are looking for a program that's similar to yours so you can share ideas, we can, you know, let that happen. So something really important to us is we want to make this, if you're having a question or an issue, you can talk to someone who's been through it before. Mm-hmm. And without it going back to making its way to a consultant or something along the lines where they would be concerned. This is a very open relationship we want to have.
Okay, well, NATSAP does a lot of things for its members, and we could go on all day talking about that. But could you talk about the research you're doing and how vital that is?
So our outcomes research project, that's headed by the University of New Hampshire through Mike Gass. Mike Petrie, who's with Outcomes Research, I'm blanking on his full business name. He is also involved heavily. Our research is amazing right now. So we started a program called a research designated program, and that is something, it's a status we bestow upon programs that have put in the data and are actively involved. When we first put this together in 2015, I believe, maybe 2016, 2016. We were expecting maybe 20, maybe 30 programs. We're at over 50
Wow.
who are designated as research designated program. It's something we want them to be really proud of. You're putting in the work. you're having your clinicians fill out these surveys. You're following up with the parents to make sure they're filling out the youth outcomes questionnaire. You know, and then you're giving this data over to the University of New Hampshire or maybe at Stanford or whoever you might be working with to collect your data, and then it's all being put together. And some of that is being put into the Journal of Therapeutic Schools and Programs, which is edited by Ellen Behrens out in Westminster College in Utah. And that's been amazing. We've got our regular issue that goes out yearly, and we've had some special issues. And the most recent one was on clinical innovations, so just the latest stuff in the field. Fascinating. One thing I do want to talk about is, and this is a huge announcement, so this is the time when you want to do your automated trumpet noises.
Okay, I don't have those, but we can pretend.
We are making a commitment. NAPSAP has decided to commit to help create this software called the Golden Thread. And the Golden Thread is research software that will follow a student throughout the entire continuum of care. So when they first talk to a consultant, they go to wilderness therapy, and then maybe they go to residential treatment, and then they go to aftercare, and then they're home. This will allow one number to be assigned to the student that will follow them throughout the whole research process. It will cut down on the amount of surveys, the duplicative surveys that parents have to fill out now. Because currently, if you enroll in wilderness therapy and then you graduate and go on to residential treatment, your parents, the residential treatment sees you as a whole new thing. They have no background on you data-wise. And that's the way their software works. And then the parents are stuck filling out a survey for wilderness therapy and a survey for, you know, the residential treatment center and a survey from the ed consultant for who they first did placement with. Now they can cut down on this. It's going to be a huge effort.
Is this going to...
NAPSAP is...
Yeah, the question, does this include programs that are not... Could include programs that are not members of NAPSAP?
It could, yeah. It could improve. It could include programs who are not members of NAPSAP. It's also going to be including educational consultants. Mm-hmm. We're asking consultants who have talked with a family or worked with a child, but they ended up not doing placement, to help fill out these questionnaires and these surveys and collect the data, because those types of students can serve as a quasi-control group. So that's something we really need. And that's something we've been looking to try to get, a good software that would work with this. So NAPSAP is committed to this. We are also working with other associations, IECA, the Independent Educational Consultants Association, the Outdoor Behavioral Health Council. They're all involved as well. There's a couple other associations we've reached out to, and we feel that they'll be putting forth the finances and the effort for this. But it's huge. It's the next level for our research. So I'm thrilled.
Okay.
Happy to
hey, well, that's fantastic. We just have a couple minutes left, but could you hit on some other highlights that that we haven't had a chance to talk about that NAPSAP is doing? Because I presume a rising tide lifts all boats. You're helping this by people helping each other. Everybody improves.
Everybody improves. That's our biggest thing, is we want those to feel that they can push up to the next level, because they'll have support from other programs as they work through this. Or if you haven't done research, you can reach out to the research committee, and they'll get you started. If we're looking at ethics, as always, a big important part of NAPSAP, and something that our best practices committee has been working on for the last couple of years, is improving our ethics. We're going to be doing a statement with IECA on appropriate relationships with consultants, and we want them to be able to be very clear when they talk to a parent and the family that ethics are important to us, extremely important.
I presume that includes for a statement against finder's fees, what's called finder's fees, kids for cash.
Yes, we currently have the statement against that. On our best practices, we require that consultants make it known to parents if they have any financial relationship with a program. And that's not necessarily finder's fees. The finder's fees are specifically a no-no. And so we want to make sure people know we're serious about this. If you don't follow it, you're going to have to go. you know, or voluntary membership organizations, but we require you to follow our rules.
Well, that's one thing that people, really that programs and consultants can say, and I've run into this periodically, because some parents will say, well, I've heard that you guys are just paid for referring. And by signing that, everybody, it's a documentation that you don't do that kind of thing, that you refer mm-hmm. based upon, get referral fees from the program.
Yeah, and we make it very clear the consultants work for the families. They mm-hmm. don't work for a program. They don't do anything involved in that. But that's their primary focus is the families. And that's really important to us. So we've been working closely with IUCA. We expect to have a really good relationship with them, as always, but going forward as well, as we focus on ethics and they focus on ethics, and we're all on the same page. You know, but that's something we need to be working on and all the time. And mm-hmm. and the last thing is, well, I mentioned the conferences earlier, but, you know, those presentations are amazing. They're cutting edge. And we're looking right now at working with the students' populations that are very unique. One of the things we've been working on is transgender placements. And we want to make sure that everyone is doing this in the correct possible way. They're using the correct language, terminology, staff training, and we're going to be offering that for our folks. We've been offering it at the annual conferences. It'll be offered at regionals as well. We'll probably be having a webinar on it. But it's really important that if you're working with a certain type of population, you need to know how best to serve them. And we're very happy that so many of our programs are offering up their experience and the products they've used or the guidelines they've incorporated into their training.
Well, it's come a long way. Yeah, NATSAP's come a long way since it was founded in 1999. And one more question to wrap it up. If somebody wanted to know more about NATSAP or wants to contact you, how would they go about it?
Absolutely. So our website is www.natsap.org. You can just always type in National Association of Therapeutic Schools and Programs. It'll pop right up. Our number is 301-986-8770. And this is the time I normally give you the generic email address. But, you know, email me, Megan, M-E-G-A-N, at NATSAP, NATSAP.org. We'll be glad to help.
Okay, well, very good. Well, this is Lon Woodbury with the Woodbury Report. We've been talking with Megan Stokes. She's the executive director of NATSAP and newly installed, I might add, director of NATSAP, and it sounds like it's going well so far. And, well, thank you very much, Megan, and good to have you.
Well, thank you for having me.